Hey everybody, P. Dave Turner, executive producer and host of your Break It Down show. Hey, today's episode features two doctor friends of mine who are a lot of fun to talk with. One is Dr. Tracy Gappin and the other one is Dr. Larissa. And they each focus on precision medicine. And what they do basically is they say, hey, instead of coming to me when you get sick, let's work on keeping you healthy longer. And let's talk specifically about your own health and how we should deal with Pete, specifically, what things do I need to take? How do I attune or detune my epigenetics? What peptide change do I need? All of these things go into these kind of things. Now, last week, Dr. Gappin was on the show and he talked about his battle with COVID and how his access to peptides helped him whoop COVID pretty easily, ultimately. Now, granted, he still got sick and that kind of thing, but he had a much easier time because his body was prepped to deal with the crisis when it showed up. That's something that we can all appreciate and get ahead. We're all living longer. And that means that right now, in the middle of our lives, or beginning, depending on how old you are, or even in your dotage, we all could do things to improve what we're at and also repair some of the damage by doing precision medicine. So I think this is a great topic to talk about because it doesn't have to all be doom and gloom on the TV and in news. And I think you all will enjoy this episode with Tracy and Larissa. It's really cool. Hey, if you want to support them, go to their websites. That stuff will all be in the show notes when you guys see it. So go there. If you want to support the show in general, the Break It Down Show, go to breakitdownshow.com and buy the shirts, subscribe, go to YouTube and subscribe. All of those things, the show will be available there. Wherever you watch podcasts or follow podcasts, it'll be there. Now, this is an audio-only show. We have more video shows coming out, so hang in there with us as we convert over to all video. And as always, I always want to support Save the Brave. So Save the Brave, SaveTheBrave.org. Go there, click on the Donate tab, and throw a little money in the coffer. We can use it. We'll put it to work, saving veterans live who have PTSD. All right. I dig these episodes. I love learning about how to stay healthier and how to invest in myself. I hope you guys do too. Here comes Dr. Gappin and Dr. Larissa.
Lions Rock Productions.
This is Jay Moore.
This is Greg Proops.
This is Jordan Harbinger.
This is Dexter from The Offspring.
This is Nathan East.
This is Sebastian Younger.
This is Rick Marotta.
This is Stuart Copeland.
This is Mick Gillette.
This is Andy Summers.
Hey, this is Skunk Baxter.
This is Gabby Reese.
This is Rob Bell.
Hey, this is John Leon Guerrero.
Hey, and this is Pete A. Turner.
Hi, this is Dr. Larissa.
And this is Dr. Tracy Gappin, and you're listening to The Break It Down Show.
And now, The Break It Down Show with John Leon Guerrero and Pete A. Turner.
Tracy, are you in your backyard sitting there relaxing?
I am outside at the clubhouse here, actually. Yeah, I'm out of my office this afternoon, and I thought, where can I go to get some nice quiet? And I figured, why not be outside?
I think you recorded at your clubhouse another time when we did one of these, too, and we talked about peptides, if I remember. And I was like, look at him sitting outside.
I was outside somewhere else, actually. But yeah, I like to get outside when I can, when I'm doing these, because, you know, when I'm inside, people are coming and going, and I don't want to get any distractions. So.
Yeah, I hear you. So you guys are on because we wanted to do something that I don't know that anyone's done before. Maybe there's a lot of content out there, but you guys are both precision medicine doctors. And if I say something wrong, it's just my layman mouth not working right. But I guess, Tracy, you focus more on the male side of precision medicine and things like epigenetics and peptides, that kind of thing. And then Larissa, you focus on the OBGYN female side of things. How have I done? Have I described precision medicine and just at the very top level, what you guys are doing?
From a female point of view, it's all about hormone optimization and excelling and performing at the level that most women want. But it takes different versions. Okay? A lot of times it may present itself as the bottle, the bulge, or brain or cognitive performance, or just being fatigued or tired. And so precision medicine has been that to put some things together to really optimize some of those results.
And Tracy?
Yeah. So I think precision medicine is really changing the paradigm. It's changing the way I manage men's health. Because up until now, everything was very generalized. You know, eat more vegetables, eat less sugar, exercise more, maybe take a statin, all these kind of general recommendations. And now with precision medicine, with someone's genetic blueprint, or they're using epigenetics, we can take a very personalized approach. So every client I work with, you know, their program is very different than the other guy because of their genetics. And so we can really personalize how we optimize our health.
And am I right in thinking this is a more proactive form of medicine to practice too, instead of saying, hey doc, this hurts, or this is, you know, I can't seem to do this anymore. We're trying to maintain a more natural balance with, you know, in comparison to what our environment, you know, consuming things out of plastics, all of the different chemicals that we're exposed to in a thousand different ways. Precision medicine is more focused on Pete specific treatment to keep myself balanced. That's pretty fair, right? Wouldn't you guys say?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. You know, proactive is a great way of describing it, whereas the disease model of medicine as we know it is really reactive, and it's all about giving you a pill to solve your ill or to really stamp out your disease until it comes back next time. And precision medicine and personalized health is all about being proactive and getting on top of things.
I agree. It's definitely that more motivated person and someone who's actually seeking it out. And you might get two different parts of the spectrum. Someone who just really does know that they're right at the edge. They're really ready for that next breakthrough of optimized or more enhanced health is what we like to call it as well. And then the other spectrum who's very much sick of the or tired of the disease care model or the sick care model, really want to be more proactive and the true light of what preventive care looks like.
Yeah. And just for everybody who's listening, we have, I think Tracy and I have done two other, maybe even three other episodes together. We did one with Attila Haidu talking about epigenetics and cancer. We did one where we talked about peptides between Tracy and I. And then Dr. Larissa and I also did a show earlier, kind of covering a lot of this precision medicine stuff. And the reason why I just wanted to kind of establish that so that folks are like, ooh, I want more. There certainly is more at breakitdownshow.com. You can learn more about this. Like, how do I get in front of these problems? How do I better manage what happens? The more I learn about this, the more I realize there's just environmental impacts on everything in our body. And these are folks to help us guide that. The thing I want to really do today with you two guys is as we look at, you know, performance and precision and trying to get, you know, myself healthy, like right now, my girlfriend and I, we're trying to eat better, like everybody, right? We're trying to exercise, you know, more frequently, more efficiently, all of these things. And it's not going to surprise you guys. It is way easier when we're both on the same eating plan, even if it's not the best plan for me or the best plan for her, just to be on the plan together, you know, like, if I'm intermittent fasting and she's eating eight meals a day, you know, to get, it's like, it just doesn't work. It is impossible to do. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how it works with couples who want to do this. And you know, is it even possible? Like, does one have to go first and the other one says, holy cow, you're getting such great gains. Let's join in. What are your guys' thoughts? And let's just start with you, Dr. Larissa. How do we do this with couples?
Well, one of the things is, and it's good that Tracy and I are on together, because one of the things we decided was I mainly wanted to work with women and he mainly wanted to work with men, and understanding that it's a collaboration that exists. And when someone's seeking precision health, a lot of times they will come in as couples. And I think the most unique thing to understand is that regardless, you're already sitting in front of someone or a couple who's motivated and you're meeting them exactly where they are. But everything is about connection. And the reason why you're telling me like the example of you and your girlfriend, oftentimes it's that connection that you already have with your spouse or your significant other that really helps bond or seal those outcomes that you want. And then I've seen times where, you know, games of it where people become kind of more competitive with each other. Mm. When they know that they have like the same sense of, hey, well, what does your blueprint look like? What did this, you know? These couples tend to be really seek out the knowledge, really want to understand, and they become more feeders off of that. And it helps them be more competitive with each other, but in a good way. Yeah. You know, there's all love, there's all connection there. So I think that's the beauty of it all, which makes it look a little different, or that paradigm kind of shifts in that direction.
Tracy, what are your thoughts on couples doing precision medicine together?
Yeah, it's really an important concept. I'm glad you brought it up, Pete, because I see so many men who are struggling with low energy, with weight gain. They're in this brain fog all day. They're tired. They're not sleeping well. They're stressed out. Sex life is miserable. And they come to me for a solution, and we create a program that's personalized for them. And if their wife isn't on the same page with them, they tend to struggle. And so I think a couple aspects of this. Number one, I think it's really important that there's something for both men and women. And that's why I love what Dr. Larice is doing, because it really is important that we focus on both sides of that relationship. And I think doing it together, number one, it creates a level of intimacy and connection that I see with couples when they're both on the same page. You know, Larice mentioned the competitive aspect of it. I see that as well, but it's more in a positive, empowering way, where they're working as a team together to become better together than they would be on their own. And so I think it's important for men and women to succeed, but I think it's actually empowering to their relationship as well when they do it together.
I look at this and I'm the guy who's, you know, 50 and I weigh too much and my body's all beat up from combat. But as I look at this, I realize that, you know, one, my 401k is not nearly big enough and I should have done a better job, even though I did an all right job up front. But my body 401k, my mental health 401k are, man, I've taken a lot out of those things early on. And it turns out I'm not going to die at 52 like I thought, because I'm 50. And it seems like I'm going to have some ways to go. And I can't imagine what my body is going to feel like when I'm 40 or 40 years from now, you know, when I'm 90, when I'm 80 years old. And then so I look at my girlfriend and we think, like, gosh, we want to be able to walk for as long as we can and enjoy, you know, the next 15, 20, 30 years. And it doesn't get better as you get older, right? So you have to start investing, you know, as soon as you can. Like Pete Koch is on my show all the time. And he's like, when people ask me that, you know, the best time to start working out, he's like, 20 years ago.
The true meaning of compounding interest, right?
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. When I look at it this way, and, you know, obviously it costs money to do this stuff, but really it is an investment in your ability to have a sweeter life on the back end. You know, even though there's no guarantee, you certainly don't want to get there and find out, I should have started eating more broccoli. You know, like you might, even if you hate it, you know, just the value of it, like just get it in you somehow, you know, as an adult, just do it.
Yeah. And that's the whole concept behind preventive medicine, proactive health, where you're really deciding that you want to take control. And men who come in to see me and they're morbidly obese and they have, you know, diabetes and they have poor sexual function and they're, you know, they got the big beer belly and they're inflamed, you know, that these guys need to take charge. And it starts with mindset, where you need to make the decision, the empowering decision, that you're going to take charge and that you're not going to just wait for disease to set in. And so I love what you're saying. I love that you're promoting this, because men and women both need to really decide first and foremost that they're going to make this change. And then the program itself takes care of itself once you're ready to make the actual change.
I know a lot of people feel like, I don't look that bad, but once you get past the skin, they're a wreck. You know, like you would never know. Like we walk on the trail all the time and there's all kinds of different body shapes and types. You can't just look at someone and see that. Dr. Larice, when you see women and they come in, like what is it? You know, like, what do you see when you look past just the surface? Like, yeah, you're skinny or whatever, but gosh, your diet is horrible and your body is responding negatively and disease is setting in.
I think Tracy hit on something that was really important. Has to do about the mindset. And so when you're asking that question, Pete, the first thing that comes to mind about conversation is the time that I spend just listening. Sometimes I'll leave a pause purposely just to hear all of what's going on, because it ends up being a little bit more than that. And especially from this point of view, they could fall from, we talked about the CEO, the bedroom or the boardroom or at home. And oftentimes it could be, you know, several triggers that we're already knowing that we're going to dial into a little bit more. I'm focusing as I'm listening to them, what is their pain point, you know, like, hey, if I was able to do this, that is like definitely leverage, right? We have the leverage of the DNA, but wait a minute, if I can be able to achieve this one thing, that could set up that mindset for the remainder of the time. So it ends up being more just the battle of the bulge. It could be, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, my mind is constantly going. So I think it really sets that stage of just really being able to dial in and just listen, because that's the individualized approach of it.
Interesting. either of you have a sense, and I guess just answer, I guess, Tracy, you go first, then Dr. Larissa goes second. Do you have a sense for how often this is a couples related problem because they share a lifestyle? And then do you have a sense for also which member of the couple set comes in first? Is it the husband? You know, 'cause in my head, dudes are always, you know, avoiding, you know, going to the doctor. We're like, I'll go there when I'm not busy. And then next thing you know, they're 65 and it's already too late. What do you think, Dr. Larissa? Is it driven by the spouses? And is this a couple's problem because they create this combined environment?
I think it, in some ways, I want to say, yes, a couple's problem, but it's always one that's leading the other a lot of times too. That's what I feel like. I'm not sure how you feel about that too, Tracy. I always feel like it's usually one kind of more of the dominant leading the role versus the other, but you definitely do have that. I really can't, maybe Tracy can, but in my experience, it is usually one that's more dominant if they're going to be in it together.
Yeah.
And then it's that commitment with the both of them, but it always is a leader, a little bit more of a leader than the other.
Sure. Yeah. No, I would agree with you, Larissa. It's definitely a couple's problem, Pete. You know, there may be one in the couple who's stronger than the other, the alpha, if you will. But it really comes down to the changes, the lifestyle changes that it takes, you know, going to bed at the same time every day, eating the right foods, stress resiliency, meditating, exercise routine, taking your micronutrients that you need, eating the right foods. I think I mentioned that already. You know, living the right lifestyle, it's not something you can do very well on your own. It's really a team concept. And so I've seen this so many times where men are doing well in the beginning and then it's struggle because their wife is not on board with them.
Yeah. Wow. So is it because the wife is healthier and doesn't need to take as many extreme measures, or is she just not on board and she's just doing her own thing?
Yeah. Oftentimes, I think it's a mindset thing. I think that, you know, when I'm able to, so when I work with, let me back up. When I work with men, I start with the passion test.
Okay.
The passion test was made by Janet Atwood. And it's a great test where you really dial down deep into what are your ambitions? What are your goals? What are you passionate about? What do you care about most? And I use that as a really critical piece of the program. So every day my clients are focusing on their why. And that's what keeps them driven. That's what keeps them motivated. Their partner, if their partner's not in the same mindset, if they're just going through life waiting for a disease to happen and not really aware of that empowering piece of mindset, then it causes them to struggle. And again, if they're not on the same page, I think that's really a problem. So I love what Larissa is doing for that reason, because I think we have to optimize both men and women. And, you know, it takes two to tango, if you will.
What do you think about that, Larissa?
I definitely agree with that as well. When it comes to it's always to me a dichotomy somewhere, whether it's the husband or the wife or a significant other. It does play a part, a big part. And mindset is big. What he's mentioning is similar to what we call a health conscious scale or mindset scale. And one of the biggest things about setting in a precision health program is you're reminding people. I mean, sometimes if you don't have that guidance or that accountability partner, someone like your Dr. Larissa's or your Dr. Tracy's, and then you're not quite sure if your spouse is, you know, all the way in there as well, it's a form of accountability, because at some form or fashion, life does happen. You need somebody to basically, you know, reroute you, remind you, this is where we started. This is the end. And we're getting there. And this is lifelong changes. I mean, the things that they learn through the program, this is kind of like their playbook, right?
Right. So, yeah. Yeah. That's their playbook, right? And it's how you want to live together as well as you can for as long as you can. You've got to do this. So since mindset seems to come first, how do you as a doctor, okay, you're listening and I'm talking to you and I'm like, you know, my girlfriend's not going to go along with this. How do you counsel or husband or whatever it is, not trying to make it gender specific, but you know, if the partner doesn't appear to be on board, how do you guide this person? I mean, is it obviously it's not essential that they do this with their partner, but it must be preferred that, you know, that at least there's some buy-in, if not some active participation in the program.
I don't think that the husband and the wife are, you know, gender neutral, whatever you call it. I don't think it matters that they're both in the exact same program. I think what's important is to have the same basic elemental, you know, fundamental foundations and concepts of how they're going to live their life. And there's a proactive way of doing it, and there's a passive reactive way. Mm. And the details, you know, are maybe not so critical for that. But, let's just look at sleep, for example. So we know that going to bed at the same time every night is really critical. We know that there are several aspects of sleep hygiene that can really affect the quality of your sleep. Well, if your spouse is watching TV until 2 a.m. when you're trying to go to bed at 10:30, and they're making noise, they're coming in, they're disrupting your sleep, and temperature of the room and the bedding and the lighting and all this is altered by your spouse, then that's a great example of how that has a huge effect on your health. And sleep has a tremendous effect on your hormones, on your energy, on cortisol, on your weight loss, on everything. So that's just a one small example of how lifestyle is so important, and that you don't have to be on the exact same page as your spouse in terms of what supplements you're taking and exactly what exercise routine you're doing. But I think there's certainly a fundamental aspect of this that needs to be shared, or else you're going to struggle.
And I think it also goes back to that particular person who's seeking this kind of care, because that's someone that's also trying to control those environments, whether they have their spouse within a program or not. They're planning ahead, mm-hmm. you know, in that model of, okay, reactionary. And that's the whole thing. This is a more motivated, proactive person. So they're able to change and modify their environments, or make sure that they're thinking ahead or having those discussions, because they really do want to optimize their health, and they want to optimize their hormones because they have those key goals in mind of what they're trying to achieve, and whether their spouse has decided in a program or not.
So there really are some baseline universal things, like getting enough sleep. Okay, well, what does that mean? That means that we have to be in bed no later than 10. Like, well, I want to stay up and watch TV. So then you start to negotiate what that means, and hey, let's get new pillows and whatever it is so that you guys can work the sleep program. How many different like individual programs are there? I mean, obviously, okay, look, they hire you guys go through the profile and they start eating better and they start taking whatever supplements and all those things. But the things that you could just do right now at home, what are some of those things that a couple should focus on to start to invest in their long-term health and precision medicine that they can self do?
If I had to do, you know, we'll go ahead and hit this DIY hacks or outside of a program and some of the simple things, and we'll just go ahead and take sleep versus nutrition. So I end up with dealing with women or working with women that might have a total different clock system just because of work.
Right.
And sometimes it's more of optimizing, you know, that one thing. So if you know that you have to get up at a certain time in the morning, this is what you need to do at night. This bedroom routine, shutting down all blue light within an hour of you resting. And then when you want to go to bed, I want you to quiet down your mind. What are you doing before you go to bed? Just be more mindful of those things that people do on an everyday basis and don't realize as disrupting their normal hormonal pattern, therefore disrupting their contributions to better sleep. And then that serves as like basically a footstool of how their next day is, their resiliency, their ability to recover. And then on the other spectrum, dialing down on nutrition, understanding, well, you know, based on leveraging your DNA, you're someone that, you know, needs to stay away from these type of things because your metabolism is going to slow down a lot more, or you're not getting this amount of nutrients to really boost certain hormones at certain times of the day. And this could ramp right into where you're having issues of going to sleep. And so just sometimes less is more, and understanding that you can leverage a lot just from dialing in a little bit closer.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that couples can do at home that doesn't require specific guidance from a doctor. I love what Larissa just described about sleep. I think meditation is something that is not used nearly enough. Mm-hmm. People don't understand it. For a long time, I thought it was kind of woo-woo. Now I know that there's true science behind it. And, you know, stress resilience has a massive impact on our health. Chronic stress elevates cortisol levels. Cortisol levels directly affect your thyroid, directly affects testosterone, directly affects your ability to burn fat and lose weight. It affects your ability to metabolize food properly and build muscle. So it has a massive impact on your health. And stress is something that's really overlooked by most men, and I believe women as well, or they think, yeah, I'm handling it just fine. So meditation is something that you can do with very little guidance. I think most people listening probably have this device called an iPhone or an Android. mine is attached to my left hand at all times.
Right.
And there are several apps that you can use that can guide you through meditation as a starter. So I use one called Headspace, and Headspace is a wonderful way just to get introduced to meditation. If you've never done it before, you simply download it and you press play. And what it will do is it will guide you through meditation for relaxation or for motivation or for sleep or for stress reduction or you know, whatever purpose you're using meditation for. As an example, as a real life application of how I use this, I have a very busy life. As you know, Pete, I have several businesses and a full-time medical practice and a wife and kiddos at home. And it can get sometimes overwhelming. And so what I am sure to do is every morning I will meditate with the app. But most importantly, I find that at the end of my workday, when I'm on the way home, I'm stressed. I can sense it. I know that my mind is going and I'm not going to be present and focused and engaged with my family when I walk through that door. So there's an elementary school down the street from where I live, and I pull in the parking lot and I park and turn on my phone, turn on Headspace, and lay there or sit there, I should say, with my eyes closed for about 10 minutes. Either 5 or 10 minute meditation. And it's amazing how it can bring you down to a calm level that you don't even realize how stressed you are until you do it afterward. And afterwards it feels so good and you're centered, you're grounded. And I'm able to walk in that door at home and my kiddos jump on me and I'm present and engaged with them. And I'm able to enjoy that time because I've kind of separated myself mentally from the stresses of my life. Mm-hmm. So one small example of how you can use meditation on a daily basis that does not require precision. It doesn't matter. It doesn't require a doctor. Mm-hmm. It just requires your phone.
Yeah. I would like to add to that. Sometimes it's just clearing the headspace. I thank you for your example, Tracy, because one of the things for me is trying to make sure my brain stays quiet and constantly thinking about one thing from another. And what I recognized in order for me to be more productive is not to feel that, oh my goodness, if I don't get this done. And a small tool of what I learned from some productivity gurus was purging.
Huh.
You know, really purging. Purging your brain, because your brain's going to keep going. And then using that before I do a meditation, because that was my problem. And learning that little trick, that DIY hack of, okay, how about put everything down that you feel like you got to do, you know, the plan next to whatever, then go into your meditation. Because some people, it may be a little difficult to quiet their brain and separate it, but it's that functionality of knowing, okay, well, your brain thought you did something with it, but really you just planted it on paper. So, you know, it's something to do or something that you will handle. And you can be able to get in a more protective space where you won't have too many wild thoughts at the same time.
Yeah. I like that you guys are talking about these aspects. By the way, I use Headspace myself, and I lived on cortisol, you know, during my combat time. It was just my cortisol pathways are like, you know, tunnels. Yeah, exactly.
It's great for short term. It's great for survival, but beyond that, detrimental.
Right. And I'm paying exactly, you've painted my physicality perfectly, you know, as I enter squarely into middle age, you know, I need a whole lot less cortisol in my life. So I use Headspace and it helps. And I part of my living, whenever possible, just basically every day, I do take some kind of meditation, which turns into a nap. And that allows me to reset my day. And, you know, look, if someone has a problem with me having a nap, that's me trying to stay alive. You know, like I'm trying to, you know, I have suicidal ideation every day, you know, and it's manageable, but that's because I manage it. And I'm trying to always get better. And so what I want to say about the Headspace and the meditation thing is, you know, it's like going to the gym. Even if you just get there and you have a crappy workout and you cut it short, or just you never find your groove. Like I swim now, and in part because my beat up combat body, I get in the pool. Nothing hurts when I swim. I've got it all figured out. I use flippers, so I don't rely on my shoulders as much because that hurts my shoulders. I don't breathe out of the side. You know, I can swim fine, but I'm not racing. I put a snorkel on and I have my flippers and I just swim for an hour and it's great. Nothing hurts in my body and it makes me do it. Same thing with meditation is even if you're not great and you're not turning your brain off, that's just where you are now. And you keep investing in that process and you do start to get better. And these are all incremental little changes that we can DIY hack ourselves. I dig that. Let's take the camera and spin it around. And I guess we'll go with you, Tracy, first. When you turn around and you look at like your partner, you know, your spouse, and you say, hey, as we set up for the night at 8:30, I'm going to get up and I'm going to make us a tea, you know, a relaxing tea or something like that. And so it can also, I think, be enriching to a couple's, you know, just the act of caring for your couple and saying, let's make this sacrifice because this is more of what you need. And we're going to focus here and let me support you in these ways. Do you see some of this behavior from your patients where, and I guess in your case, the wife or the significant other says, yeah, I want this person invested because I want them around. And how, what kind of examples are there of that you've seen?
The first thing I would recommend that men should not go to their wife and say, we need to do something because you have a big ass.
That's dangerous for your health.
You don't want to come out of that way. That's very different. Exactly. Yeah, it's more around an intimate, connected path forward, and is more proactive in terms of, hey, you know, we want to live together to see our children grow and get married and have grandchildren, and you know, it's more of a loving, supportive angle, right, in that regard. I find that in the men that I care for, most of their wives are very engaged in what we're doing, and they're involved in some sense or another, and that actually provides motivation for the men. You know, the in most households, the women are in charge, no matter what the men think. The women tend to be in charge, and that's helpful. So when I can get the wives engaged, and you know, they love the science behind, you know, everything we do is science based. Everything has literature to support what we're doing, and they love to see that, and they get involved. And I think it's really just a supportive angle where it's teamwork, and you're working together toward a common purpose.
That common purpose is often, again, it's done in little steps too, little habits that are created. You know, even if you don't do that nightly tea for two nights in a row because the schedule gets crazy, you know where to reset to so that you can get back to having that relaxing tea. And once we have tea, we put our phones down and, you know, we turn off the TV and we read or whatever it is, right? Like you try to build the environment so that the norm is to do these. And honestly, none of these things sound terrible, you know, like turning off a TV and spending time with your significant other. That sounds great. Like maybe you play a game of backgammon, you know, or whatever it is, read a book, whatever. And you enjoy each other's company and then transition into bed, maybe even have some time for a little bit of sex time, you know, like you almost have to schedule that in an adult life. You just get so busy.
Yeah. And the key word you just used was schedule. And I actually really work with my men on this in that they have a tendency to work all day and come home and bring their work with them. And they're on the couch working still in their laptop or they're in their office and they never quite turn it off. They're doing phone calls. They're really still engaged with work. And that never gives them a time to have that relaxation time with their partner. You know, and that's so important when it comes to the intimacy, the relationship, the connectedness. But also that comes back to cortisol and just, you know, resetting your mind and developing a pattern of relaxation. So I have my men create a schedule, a weekly schedule, so that when they hit a certain time, their phones are off, their computers are off, and it's now time to be engaged with the family. And I do that for myself as well. And my family has my schedule and they know that there's one night a week that I'm going to work late because I have to. But then every other night a week, when I walk in the door, my laptop turns off, my phone turns off, and I'm completely present and engaged with them. And it's helpful because you know you have your time to get your work done, but then the family knows that when you're there, you're truly there as well.
Yeah. And as a guy that works a lot of hours, at some point, you know, you do have to invest in yourself and your family and your spouse and everything. Same basic premise for you, Dr. Larissa. When we turn the camera around and we look from the spouse's point of view to support, you know, the person that you guys are treating. I was talking about like, you know, making a tea at night and setting up a nighttime ritual that even if you get off of the ritual, you have a baseline, like we're going to have this relaxing tea. And when the tea comes, the phones go away, the TV is shut off and we spend time with each other, even if we're reading or it's just a time for relaxation. And then we transition into the bedroom. Maybe there's a little bit of, you know, time scheduled for a little hanky panky, you know, because also that's easy. Like, because, you know, we've got these adult lives, right? We can blow right past that opportunity. So talk a little bit about how you care for your spouse who's in a program with you guys to enrich their ability to take care for themselves. Like, what do you see the spouses and significant others doing to support your patients as you care for them?
It's important for them to be on the same page and make sure that communication has taken place, because I think we're all guilty of planning to do something and doing it and not getting that support on board, spouse and your family. So I really do think that is literally pivotal, because it becomes such a routine for that person where their family, even if, you know, the spouse is in the program or not, or doing the same thing, where they kind of know what to expect, where it becomes kind of a, oh, you know, well, it's not, you know, what happens then, you know, you want it to get that routine where this is the new norm,
right?
You know, this is how we're going to do our bedtime. This is how we're going to have some hanky panky, which is a nice way to reduce your cortisol.
Yes. All right. I've got a prescription for love.
It's the right type of adrenaline you need to kind of put you in that relaxed mode. I mean, it's a good way to balance it at the end of the day.
So hanky panky
releases some good type of hormone. So anyway, so those are things that, you know, having that open communication, making sure that that's been discussed of and becomes a new norm, literally becomes a new norm for the couple.
When you guys look at like what's coming down the pipe, you know, obviously Tracy and I have talked about peptides, and I think that's just exciting. Then, you know, epigenetics and attuning and detuning our you know, DNA proclivities. What else is out there that people could look into to get a better sense of what precision medicine is and where the forefront is?
Hey, this is P.A. Turner from Lions Rock Productions. We create podcasts around here. And if you, your brand, or your company want to figure out how to do a podcast, just talk to me. I'll give you the advice on the right gear, the best plan, and show you how to take a podcast that makes sense for you, that's sustainable, that's scalable, and fun. Hit me up at Pete@BreakItDownShow.com. Let me help. I want to hear about it.
What else is out there that people could look into to get a better sense of what precision medicine is and where the forefront is?
Yeah, I think this is a very exciting time in precision medicine and age management medicine. We are learning all about the mechanisms of aging. And this is really new science that's coming out on an almost daily basis now, where we are understanding the physiology behind aging and the actual science behind what's happening to promote aging. And by understanding that, we are able to take massive leaps forward in how to prevent and actually reverse aging. Wow. I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, one we've talked about, I think ad nauseum in all the podcasts we've done together, Pete, about hormone optimization and how, you know, testosterone is so critical. And it's not just testosterone, it's cortisol, it's thyroid, it's estrogen, it's melatonin, it's DHEA and growth hormone. All these hormones, this milieu of hormones, if you will, are so critical for aging. And we think that you know, we used to think that aging caused low testosterone. Now we actually believe that low testosterone and hormonal imbalance in general may be an underlying cause of aging. And so fixing that is certainly the first step. We now know about a molecule called NAD.
Huh.
And NAD is a molecule that I learned about it way back in medical school in the Paleozoic era. And back then, the NAD molecule was really just considered to be another molecule, no big deal. Now we understand that it's actually probably one of the keys to longevity.
Hmm.
And as we age, our NAD levels deplete. And so we're learning all about how to maximize our NAD levels. And animal studies have shown that by maximizing your NAD levels, you can actually promote longevity. And so a lot of exciting science coming out around NAD. We know about mitochondrial biogenesis and how mitochondria, which are the organelles or the little machines in your cells that produce energy, that they deteriorate as you age. And we know that by maximizing and optimizing your mitochondrial function, we can actually promote longevity as well. And science is showing in animal studies, as again, that we can promote longevity simply by fixing mitochondrial function. We know about something called autophagy, which is how our cells take out the trash, if you will, is the best way to think about it, how we clear out the cellular debris. And we know that autophagy is really a key to longevity as well. And so there are genes associated with that, and there are practice habits and lifestyle mechanisms that we can promote autophagy as well. So all the science is coming around the pipeline. I could talk for an hour about longevity.
Well, it is what you do for a living. Yeah, the thing I wanted to ask you too is as we get to learn more about this, I mean, you talked about the powerhouse of the cell, right? This is seventh grade science that comes back, but we're learning more about like its role specifically and how it works. Does that mean that we're also learning more about endoplasmic reticulum or, you know, the microtubules in the you know, cytoskeleton, or is it and the Golgi bodies, like, are these the areas that we're actually learning more about in mass, or is it really specific to the ribosome?
Yeah, it's cellular aging, and and you bring up a great point that we're learning all about this in a way that we never understood in the past. You know, the mitochondria have its own set of DNA that we never knew before. We know that the mitochondria actually communicates with the nucleus of the cell, and the nucleus communicates with the mitochondria of the cell. And that cross communication and interaction is really critical. And so we're learning on an almost daily basis new aspects of cellular aging. And this field is just exploding before our very eyes. It's a lot of fun.
What are you seeing, Dr. Larissa, in terms of like the future that's coming out? We're talking about the cell, obviously, but you've got the OBGYN thing has obviously exploded too with what we know about that.
Yeah, and I'm going to stay on the GYN side of it, of course, but with the OB side of it and how precision health and epigenetics, it's a matter of looking at it from the lens of preconception health. Mm-hmm. A lot of we look at, you know, a woman gets pregnant, oh, let me take prenatal vitamins, Honestly, that's something that they should have been taking all along, you know, something that is supplemented to enhance a pregnancy, to enhance implantation, to make sure that that nutritional milieu is right there waiting for the baby. Mm. And so on the OB side of things, I feel like the open door and the science is evolving for sure, but it's already kind of there. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just saying eat right during pregnancy. We're talking about transgenerational changes that can occur before pregnancy. Mm. You've totally enhanced the environment where a baby's going to be living in. And on the, you know, the gynecologic side or the GYN side of things, you know, women are all about anti-aging, right? And a couple of things, we're the biggest consumers in the anti-aging market. And this is a $1 billion market, you know, from fine lines, crow feet to, you know, skincare, all those things. We are definitely the consumers of it. And, but you're taking care of things on a very regenerative, very cellular level, you're going to have more long-standing effects. You're going to have more bang for your buck. You're going to have, you know, that greater compounding interest because we're understanding so much on a cellular level of these anti-aging effects. And then, I mean, even going, exploring a little further and talking about cognitive enhancement, you know, Alzheimer's is real. Dementia is real. Some of those key things that can be done even now and diving into some of these topics, the research is going to show, you know, those percentages are going to decrease with time, with knowing that these environmental lifestyle things have started to take effect. Those modifications are done early enough where you can start reversing aging, literally. So
there's a lot of people out there that don't have PhD in front of their name that are in this space as well. And this isn't to look down upon, you know, autodidacts, that kind of thing. Like Suzanne Summers has been in the aging space for 50 plus years, right? You know, talking about living healthy and everything else. And her one piece of advice is like, if you do nothing else, just take a probiotic every day. And that's one thing that I wish I would have started earlier. And obviously she does 100 things, you know, but that's kind of been her business. What's the difference between what someone who has spent their whole life kind of self-studying and developing a massive amount of information about the topic versus someone who's a PhD and a, specifically a medical doctor? Because I don't want to get my medical advice from a history teacher. But what do you guys bring that someone, even as well-schooled as Suzanne Summers is, that they can't?
Yeah, great question, Pete. There's a lot of nonsense out there, honestly. There's just a lot of just noise, and some of it's real, some of it's kind of just malarkey. I use that word today. Excellent. So I think that the key is to know that the information you're getting is based on solid science. And a lot of the cool biohackers out there, they're getting their information from just Dr. Google. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you need to be an MD or PhD to know what you're talking about, but I think you need to take everything with a grain of salt, look at the underlying science behind it and really understand it. There are a lot of observational studies. There's a lot of population-based studies that are used in a way that's not quite accurate. Mm-hmm. Results, studies, you know, you can make a study almost say what you want to say, and you have to really understand the way studies are done to be sure that the information is really accurate. Just because there's correlation does not equal causation. Right. And that's the best way to put it. Just because two things are correlated doesn't mean that there's a causal effect there.
Yeah.
And that's where people tend to get into trouble.
And there's also a value to causation, right? Are we talking a one? Because that never happens. Or are we talking something closer to zero? You know, so yeah, there's some causation here, but what do you even understand about it? I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, how is that study structured? Boy, yeah.
And I think the biggest difference between Suzanne Summers and a Dr. Larissa or a Dr. Gappin or someone in that medical world is a platform. Mm-hmm. When you have an opportunity to have a platform to really get to the masses, you immediately have a following, you know, you immediately have an opportunity to, you know, really engage people. And I have, you know, kind of like definitely a love of some things because she did bring attention to women. And I'm going to take it, you know, specifically from a female voice, where she made sex good talking about, just like Dr. Ruth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody, Dr. Ruth, right? Made certain things where it kind of opened up people to start asking those questions other than what they were getting at, you know, a conventional doctor setting.
Yeah.
It did pull that thought out of there. So, but not everybody does so. You know, just like now, they're opportunists.
Yeah.
They see a $1 billion industry and you kind of go after it. So I definitely say you have to make sure you're cleaning your information, make sure you understand where it's coming from and look at it with, you know, a clear eye and see how does that work with you? Does that make sense for you? You know, it may not make sense for you as it would somebody else.
Yeah. I when you talk about all these things, I think about the 20 something year old fitness model who's advising you on how to eat and work out. It's like, yeah, your body is in perfect shape in part because of your age, you know, and you don't know, none of your friends are divorced. No one you know has a drinking problem, you know, like not that they don't have problems. It's just hard to take them seriously, you know, it's just a little bit silly.
That's true.
And Dr. Ruth, by the way, yeah, she's fabulous. I saw her talking the other day and she always has such great advice because it turns out she's good at this. And she's like, you know, if you want to improve your sex life, why don't you take 5 minutes and give your loved one a hand job? You know, it's like, you know what? Yeah, shit. We all have time. We're so, you're not so busy. You can't take 5 minutes to do that. And it's not lewd because it's Dr. Ruth talking about this, you know, it's right. Like these little things that do enrich our lives as a couple, as an individual, the 5 minutes of meditation.
And she's still living.
She's still around in her 90s.
So obviously, hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She's anti-aging proof,
she
right?
So. And whatever she's doing is working. And she's not the only 90-something-year-old sex therapist doctor out there. Mm-hmm. There are others of them. So we do have time for these things. I guess what I'll ask you guys in closing is each of you, like for someone who's trying to get the path built to where you all are at to really get professional guidance. What is your, I guess, Dr. Larissa, you go first. What is your one thing you're going to ask ladies to do to build that bridge to you? Because it's easy to say, get up off the couch, come on my office, but really no shit. What's that one thing that they can do to start to build some energy towards getting into your office and really taking this seriously and getting after their long-term health?
Pick up the phone.
Okay.
Because I do offer a discovery call. Sometimes it's kind of, and during that call, I don't hardly talk. I'm pretty much just trying to listen to those trigger things, those things that they, some prompt words. Because sometimes that first step is just some guidance. Like, I'm not crazy, am I? You know, I'm thinking about this the wrong way. There's something to, you know, that first call that they have with me. And if it's just one thing, then okay, just take that first step. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Tracy, what's yours?
Yeah. You know, men are, we're simple creatures. we're pretty simple. We
burritos, beer, babes, boobs, right. Bumblebee.
Yeah. I hear seven words at least once a day. And it is just tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And, just tell me what to do. Six words. I thought it was seven. Just tell me what to do. So guys are simple. They just want to be told what to do. And what they normally end up doing is just going to a T clinic down the street. They think that just going and getting a T shot, that's the answer. I'll just go get some testosterone every couple of weeks and I'll be fine. And so what I really want to emphasize to men is that that's all a lie. Anyone who's telling you it's all about testosterone and anyone who's telling you that all you need is a testosterone shot, it's a big lie. It is so much more than that. And I see so many men in my office who come in, they've been on testosterone for a while and they're like, hey, something's just not right. I feel like shit. You know, I'm still not sleeping well. My stress is high. I don't know what to do. Just tell me what to do. And so I would implore you to look at it from the perspective of it's so much more than testosterone. It takes a systems-based approach, a whole body approach where we look at every aspect of your health, your nutrition, your sleep, your stress, your micronutrients. And we take it all from a personalized genetics-based perspective. And so, check out my website, smartmenshealth.com. Give me a call. I'd be glad to help you out. And realize that it's so much more than just testosterone.
Yeah. So basically, you guys are saying the first step is get on the fucking phone. call somebody.
I see a shirt there. Get on the fucking phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
A hat. Get on the fucking phone. That works.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you going to say something, Tracy? Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is great. And all of these things piled together. I mean, we have a lot of folks that talk about this. Just yesterday, I was in LA and we were doing a show with someone who's a nutritionist. And she's like, I've learned so many things. And she's a nutritionist, you know, like, and I always like to bring up wheat germ as a reference because that was a thing, you know, raw eggs and wheat germ. That's how you take care of yourself. And it's just, it's comical, right? Like how not even close. You can't even buy wheat germ in any kind of regular store anymore, you know? And not that wheat germ is bad, but that was like, that was the tee shot of 1984, you know, different now.
There's just no magic pill. There's always some magical pill around the corner. And the answer is you need to be smart about it. You need to be methodical and it takes a whole body approach.
And then let me just say this for your guys' benefit, whatever it is that you guys charge for your services, obviously professional, you guys are doing a great job, but look at the cost of long-term healthcare, long-term insurance, healthcare insurance, and just invest in yourself and it will be less money and and you will have a better long-term life. I'm not saying don't get insurance. I'm not saying, but if you look at this really like your mental and your body's, you know, 401k, just start investing in it and we can get things going in the right direction. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make sure there's as much as me getting across the finish line as possible because it turns out I'm going to live a while still. So wait for the news flash.
So.
Yeah, wait for the news flash. Pete dies from coronavirus. But I appreciate you guys coming on and doing this with me. It was really fun. It was interesting to explore the whole topic. And I'm learning everything through you guys. And it's such an area that I have no knowledge in. I know about the parts of the cell, Tracy, right? I can say Golgi bodies and stuff like that. But just to understand how it all goes together, it's fascinating and inspires me to get up and go do some squats and eat better and all that kind of stuff.
Awesome. There will be a quiz later.